Eternal life is a life that is unending, and immortality means about the same thing. Immortality is derived from the word mortal, from which we get our words mortician, mortuary, and mortify, all having to do with death. The word mortal comes from the Latin word which means death, and immortal means not subject to death or something that is imperishable. The difference in belief regarding this subject is whether man now possesses immortality or will be given unending life at some future time, depending upon certain conditions. The ancient Egyptians, the Hindus, and the Greeks, and all nations of antiquity except the Hebrew nation, taught that man naturally had immortality. Herodotus, called the father of history, speaking of the belief of the ancient Egyptians, says, "On the dissolution of the body, the soul immediately enters into some other animal, and after using as a vehicle every species of terrestrial, aquatic, and winged creatures, it finally enters a second time a human body. It undergoes all these changes in the space of about 3,000 years. The ancient Greeks held a similar idea, and the Hindus still hold this idea. Plato taught and represented Socrates as teaching that the soul of man is in its own nature immortal and indestructible. It is quite evident that this and other unscriptural teachings came into the church from paganism at an early date. This accelerated the great apostasy which precipitated the Reformation under the leadership of Martin Luther. The record in Genesis 2 and verse 7 that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul does not carry any thought that man was an immortal soul or that he had an immortal soul. After man had been placed in the Garden of Eden and had sinned, we read in Genesis 3:22 that the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which he turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." If we were to believe that every man by nature possessed immortality, we would have to believe that man had the power to live on forever in sin. This seemed to be the very thing that God was determined should not happen when he drove man out of the garden. Note God's word, "Lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." In the writings of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 2 and verse 7, it is evident that eternal life is something to be sought after. To those who patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. That is from the Revised Standard Version. We note further that no one now has immortality except God. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, the 16th verse in the Revised Standard Version simply states, "Who alone has immortality?" And this, of course, is speaking about God. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, was given unending life at his resurrection, so that he could say in Revelation 1:8, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Only God and Christ now have that eternal life, and the only others who will receive it will be those who seek for it by patient continuance in well-doing. The Apostle Paul tells us when we shall receive that immortality in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading verses 50 through 54. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." The meaning of this is that there will still be Christians living at this time when Christ comes. But he says, "We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. No, death has not been swallowed up in victory yet, except by Jesus Christ. You and I, and all of those who are sleeping in death, must wait until the day that the trumpet sounds when Christ returns. When the disciples of Jesus began to wonder about the reward for faithful service, they asked him what they should have for leaving all and following him. And in Mark 10, verses 29 and 30, we have the answer that Jesus gave. He said, "Truly I say unto you, there is no one who has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers, and sisters and mothers, and children and lands, with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life." We understand from this that eternal life is not a present possession, even of the faithful servant of the Lord, but will only be given in the coming age. Of course, those who hold to the teaching that immortality is a present possession do have a few verses of Scripture upon which they base their belief. We must be diligent, however, to consider all of God's Word. One of these texts is found in John 11, verse 26. Jesus says, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." This was the occasion following the death of Lazarus, Jesus' friend. And Jesus had said to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, "Thy brother shall live again." Martha said to him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Then Jesus began to reveal to her the great truth that Jesus himself was the Messiah to whom all power would be given in heaven and earth, and that he was the one who would be the great life giver, the eternal life giver in the coming age. So he said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." When he said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die," he was talking of those who would be living, be raised in the resurrection at the beginning of this coming age. This agrees perfectly with the statement that Jesus made in John chapter 6 and verse 40. "This is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." We see that it is a resurrection that the believer may have eternal or everlasting life. Another verse which seems to teach that eternal life is now our present possession is found in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. "This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life." It is also stated in the 13th verse of the same chapter, "that ye may know that ye have eternal life." These scriptures seem to teach that eternal life is ours right now. But let us consider the context. In verse 11, the whole verse reads, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." He is really saying that Jesus is our life giver, and the life which is promised to us is still with Jesus. This is in agreement with what the Apostle Paul wrote to the brethren at Colossae. He said to them, "Ye are dead, and your life is hid with God, with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Colossians 3, verses 3 and 4. When will we appear with Jesus in glory? It will be at the resurrection, at the very same time that the Apostle Paul expected that he should receive an eternal life, which he called the crown of righteousness. "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing." 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. The day that Paul mentions is described in the first verse, where he speaks about the living and the dead whom the Lord Jesus Christ shall judge at his appearing and kingdom. When we set ourselves to diligently find the truth regarding any question concerning our hope, we can find the truth in God's Word, the Holy Bible. That Word does not contradict itself, nor is it vague in its revelation concerning the important things of our salvation. Read and study the Bible diligently and prayerfully. Follow its instructions, and you will be assured of eternal life at the time when Jesus Christ comes.